What happens in the sky affects life down here on Earth. The Celestial Compass shows you how and guides your way with astrology you can use from professional astrologer Kathy Beale. Every episode features her light-hearted, practical forecasts and navigational tips, blended with humor, optimism, and a love of patterns, symbolism, and pop culture references. Kathy translates technicalities into concepts that apply to real life. You'll learn how the current moment ties to where we've been, from the recent past to cycles that last happened years ago, and get a look at where we're heading. And much more, from special topics to special guests. The Celestial Compass, enlightening, entertaining, and empowering. Here's your host, Kathy Beale.
Greetings, Earthlings. This is Kathy Beale of EmpowermentUnlimited.net. We're going to be talking today about the astrology of the midterms with returning guest, I'm so delighted, Alex Miller of Alex's Asteroid Astrology. But before we bring Alex in, I'm going to set the background just a bit with an update of the November forecast, because this particular week, so much is going on, and it brings together a lot of influences that have a kind of January effect to them, looking backward, looking forward. You've probably heard there is a lunar eclipse on Election Day on November 8th, and it is a chapter closer in a lot of ways. Uranus, the cosmic radical agent of the agent of radical change, is in the mix, as are pretty much anything you can think of you can tie into this. And it is bringing a lot to a point of emotional culmination that has been kicking around since at least the beginning of January 2021. We'll come back to that. Mars is retrograde all month. Mars, the planet of action, generally likes to be forward moving, now in a backtracking mode, which will be in effect until the middle of January. He's in the sign of Gemini, which is communication, objects, that machines, things with moving parts, how we get around. And since he's in Gemini, it's going to feel a bit like a Mercury retrograde, which will be especially the case as he moves into a square to Neptune in the middle of the month. I think it's exact on the 19th. We'll be feeling it up to then. Just know that as we get to the middle of the month, confusion will be building. Don't take anything for granted that anybody tells you. Don't make assumptions. And definitely the road work ahead signs are already all over the highways and streets. So add extra time into your travels. And just know that a lot of people with Mars retrograde in the sign of communication are going to be looking for a fight, a verbal fight. And it's your choice whether you give it to them. But the good news in all of this is, as we get toward the end of the month, the atmosphere warms, it gets lighter, it gets more fun with Venus, which rules our social mode, Mercury, our information flow, and the Sun in Sagittarius, the guy who's out for a good time, loves to laugh, can be a little bit my way or the highway, but let's take it for the happy, optimistic, expansive qualities of this. And Jupiter, the ruler of Sagittarius, will be turning direct around that time too, which is like a cosmic nightlight. So regardless of what the journey is that gets us there, we'll at least feel happier, I think, by the end of the month. So now let's talk about the thing that's giving everybody such agitation right now. The midterm elections. Our guest is Alex Miller, a professional writer and astrologer, author of The Black Hole Book, which details deep space points in astrological interpretation, and the forthcoming Heaven on Earth, a comprehensive study of asteroids, both mythic and personal. Alex is a frequent contributor to the Mountain Astrologer, Daykeeper Journal, and NCGR's Journals and E-News Commentary. His work has also appeared in Aspects Magazine, Dell Horoscope, RIP, Planet Waves, Neptune Cafe, and Sastrology. He's a past president of Philadelphia Astrological Society and a former board member of the Philadelphia chapter of NCGR and an extremely popular guest. I am so happy that you have returned. Welcome, Alex.
Well, thanks, Kathy, for asking me again. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Okay, everybody, strap in. Let's start talking about what in the world is going on. Now, we have lived through election days with Mercury retrograde and all kinds of weird things happening. This one has a total lunar eclipse right before pretty much the polls open.
Yes, it does.
Care to set the stage for this?
Sure. I think probably the most important thing I can tell you about the outcome of this election is that I can't tell you anything about the outcome of this election. Uranus is a wild card, as we all know, and Uranus is tapped right into this. That eclipse you just mentioned has got the moon exact with Uranus, and opposing them on the sun end is Mercury, which is a few minutes shy of 16 at the time of the eclipse, but will be conjunct the sun at 16 Scorpio for most of the day. This just pretty much means prediction is kind of a waste of time. So it's been great talking to you, and we'll catch you on the flip side. It's a mixed bag, and really anyone who tells you they know what's going to happen is fooling themselves or lying to you, because anything is possible on this day in particular. I can't think of a worse timing, or perhaps a better timing, for an election than this one, but that's what we've got. So, Uranus is very fond of throwing things into chaos and, keeping things moving, keeping things unexpected, shocking others. It's simply unpredictable. The opposition to Mercury in particular is unfortunate, because Mercury rules, the mental processes by which we make a decision. It rules the vote itself, it rules the process of voting, it rules the tabulation of the vote, and in combination with Uranus, that says, look for controversy over the vote, look for volatile rhetoric regarding the vote. There'll be shocks, there'll be reversals. Yes, that spirit of rebellion is in the air, but it's hard to say where it's directed.
Well, I can think of one thing that's likely to happen, and I'm sorry to interrupt you, and that is actual technical breakdowns.
Yes, absolutely. That's a very likely outcome for the day, without doubt. And that T-square that's formed with Saturn in Aquarius is another, factor that could be of major significance. I mean, the implication of Saturn is that it tends to focus more on the conservative end of the spectrum. So it might be that, since the common wisdom is, that particularly in midterm elections, the out party, the party that doesn't control the White House, tends to lose seats. And people have come into this with the expectation that the Democrats will lose at least the House, possibly the Senate also. But Saturn there might throw an unexpected monkey wrench into the expectations of conservatives. It's been kind of interesting to track this all summer, because, that was the common wisdom as we entered the summer, and then the Roe v. Wade decision came down from the Supreme Court, and that kind of flipped the script then, and people began to say, hey, you know what, the Dems have got the momentum here, yada, yada, yada. Then it went back to the Republicans, and I just saw some polling this morning that looks like Dems are up in a number of crucial Senate seats and might be able to hold on to that House. So it's a wild card, and there's really no saying on that level what's going to happen. Now,
yeah,
you want to just say something? What?
Well, yeah, but Saturn also is the status quo, and with this pressure coming at the status quo, there could be maintaining the status quo, which at this moment is the Dems controlling the House. I mean, the Dems having the slight majority of the House and the Senate. So that, to me, is an argument that maybe everything isn't going to be tossed out. And also the status quo, like wanting to keep what had been a constitutional right for 50 years, going
right
back to that.
Right.
Yeah. You can look up. It's all there. All right.
Yeah. Now, if we refine that beyond the level of planetary energies into the realm of the asteroids, there's a lot going on. But again, it's contradictory in some ways, and it leaves a lot of unanswered questions about the day in itself. But for what it's worth, let's take a look at that. This isn't quite a fair celestial fight because we don't have a really good marker for the Republican Party up there in the sky. We do have the asteroid Demokratos, which works very well for the Democrats. So we'll take a look at that. And what we're seeing on the day is an opposition from a conjunction of asteroids America and Bida, Bida being our referent for Joe Biden, to asteroid Demokratos, which is conjunct asteroids Grieve and Knot and Ro. So we're starting to see the fact that the Roe v. Wade overturning is certainly going to be a factor, but it's hard to say exactly how. America conjunct Bida would seem to say that the nation is on the president's side, since they're conjoined each other. But points that are in conjunction can be allies or they can be irritants. They're constantly within each other's space. They're constantly rubbing and chafing each other, and sometimes that produces a negative result. The opposition to Demokratos could say that the country is at odds, from America, could say that the country is at odds with the Democrats, and that they're going to be licking their wounds as represented by asteroid Grieve, and not could be a disqualifier that the American public is saying, no, we don't want that. However, with Roe there, the Knot and Roe could simply be a reference to the voiding of that prior ruling, and conjunct Demokratos, it suggests that factor, the overruling of Roe, is on their side. So, again, a lot of contrary issues there. Asteroid Wade also exists. Asteroid Wade is in a very interesting position. It's in a grand cross. It's opposing Nemesis, which is ruin and undoing. It's squared to Karma, which is, the results of our actions, which is in itself conjunct asteroid Trumper, which is our referent for Donald Trump. So Donald Trump's karma is at issue with this as well. And then the final point in the Grand Cross is asteroid Achilles, which represents a weakness or a vulnerability. Now, that's not tied to any particular party. It's just kind of out there in isolation, but it shows the fact that this decision is something that's going to be very much in play on the day. For example, when the decision was handed down on June 24th, we had a similar activity of these asteroids. The Sun that day was conjunct asteroid Child and asteroid Wade, and it was squared to Jupiter, which rules the Supreme Court, and with Jupiter were asteroids Ro and, again, Knot, which pretty much clearly spells out the Supreme Court's voiding of that ruling that relates to, Roe v. Wade and procreation. So...
Now I can, using just the eclipse lineup, tie what you're saying, tie this event to what you're saying about the Trump-related aspect to this. We were talking about, or I mentioned this before we actually went on, went live, this T-squared a Saturn, so a T-square for everybody, it's an opposition, so there's a Sun-Moon opposition, and the Sun has Mercury, the planet of communication, traveling with it, and the Moon has Uranus, the guy that shakes everything up, and they're both putting equal pressure on Saturn in Aquarius in the middle, and Saturn and Uranus started traveling in this uncomfortable, challenging square aspect at the beginning of 2021. And there's a culmination point coming with what's the big thing that happened in January 2021, January 6th, storming of the Capitol, Uranus, radicals, rebels going against the government, Saturn. So there is some piece of that also involved in whatever is going on right now. And the one other comment I'll add, based on what you're showing with the paradoxical nature of the role of the asteroids, is that all of this says to me the election will not be settled on the day.
Yeah, very
which
light.
Which has become the norm. There'll be a lot of things that will not be clear for a while.
Yes, I would agree with that for sure. Yeah. Yeah. And, the main battleground, you know, would appear to be the Senate. The House, all things being equal, should be a GOP pickup, not only historically, but the redistricting from the 2020 census, I believe, gives the Republicans an additional 10 seats without really trying, which would be more than enough to upset the balance. So even if all the Dem candidates who weren't caught up in losing their seats in that redistricting, even if all those are reelected, it's a likely GOP pickup. But the drama is going to take place in the Senate, and we can see that in the asteroids with a tight opposition from asteroid senator to Damocles, which represents the doom or threat hanging overhead.
Oh, this is an excellent place for our first break, a cliffhanger. Hang in, everybody. We'll be back really, really soon.
The cutting edge of conscious radio, OM Times Radio, IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations, to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Want help with your own celestial compass? Visit my site, empowermentunlimited.net, for Astro Insight forecasts for each week, month, and new and full moon. Want to explore the personal impact? Make a decision? Understand another person? It is possible. Click the Services tab to book a personal session with me. That address again, empowermentunlimited.net.
You came across someone struggling with hunger. How would you recognize them? Would you notice an 8-year-old girl who's not excited
for summer break because she may not be having lunch again until September?
Or a war veteran who's having a hard time
landing a job and getting back on his feet?
I am the one in 8 Americans who struggle with hunger. I am hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Celestial Compass. We're talking about the astrology of the midterms with Alex Miller. And just before the break, Alex brought up what's going on with the Senate.
Yes. So we do have that opposition from asteroid senator to Damocles, which suggests a looming threat about to descend. So it's obvious that that's where the drama is going to occur. That's the main bone of contention in the election on Tuesday. But of course, it's never just as simple as that when you're dealing with as many points as I do, because there's another grand cross. And the points at those cross points would be TNO Sedna, which is one of those trans-Neptunian objects that's out in the realm of Pluto and beyond. And then that's in Taurus, and then the other side is an asteroid called Felicitas in Scorpio. The main polarity between Senator and Damocles occurs between Leo and Aquarius. So, again, we're getting contradictory data here. Sedna is named for an Inuit goddess who dwells in the deepest, most inaccessible part of the Arctic Ocean. and therefore it often symbolizes isolation, a sort of literal being left out in the cold, as it were. But felicitas is the root of the word felicity. It means happiness, luck, you know, good fortune. So without any specific marker that ties it to either party, all we know for sure is someone's going to be out in the cold and someone's going to be happy about where they are. But it's difficult to say who. Now, there are other factors that accrue to Senator that are not really related to that race, but which are also in opposition to Damocles, showing that there's a looming threat for individuals or for particular places. One of these is Asteroid Nancy, which would symbolize Nancy Pelosi, who is, of course, current Speaker of the House and in danger of losing her position. So this is a very definite Damocles moment for her, not to mention the recent, you know, break-in at her home and the attack on her husband, which would have occurred while this was still an orb. And Nancy mm-hmm. was the stated target of that attack, although she was not at home at the time. The other point that's right there with Senator and opposing Damocles is Asteroid Arizona, which has emerged as probably the most critical battleground right now as far as preservation of democracy is concerned, because there are Republican election deniers running for both governor and secretary of state in Arizona, which in recent years has become, you know, some of the swingier of swing states, and could be really pivotal in a presidential election in 2 years. And both of those candidates have essentially stated that, you know, they'll do what it takes to ensure a victory for their party. So that, therefore, is a threat kind of looming over the entire country in that sense. I did recently take a closer look at a few of the other races for the Senate that are, you know, in the spotlight as being close squeakers and which could perhaps determine who ultimately has control of that body. And since I'm from Pennsylvania, I'm going to start with that one, where the current Democratic Lieutenant Governor John Fetterman is vying with celebrity doctor and carpetbagger Mehmet Oz, who just moved to the state this year to qualify for residency to run on the ballot. The interesting thing about these two is that natally, both of them have asteroid senator within a degree of each other, and even though they were born 9 years apart. And both of those points were the focus of the recent lunar eclipses, both last November and in May, which occurred in late degrees of Taurus and Scorpio, and their asteroid senators are in late degrees of Leo. So the eclipse polarity was T-squaring both of those points at the same time, and that occurred just a few days. The eclipse itself occurred just a few days before the Pennsylvania primary in May, and both Fetterman and Oz, not surprisingly, won their nominations from their respective parties for the Senate race. Now, for Oz, the story kind of ends there. He's got his nomination. It's in the bag. That's fine. Unfortunately for Fetterman, there was another wrinkle, because in addition to asteroid senator being eclipsed, so was an exact conjunction of his sun with Nemesis. Now, the fact of having senator conjunct the sun shows that there's a natural affinity for him with that office. He's going to feel natural in that role. He's going to look natural. He's going to sound natural. And one of his big pluses is that ability to kind of connect with everyday Pennsylvanians and express their concerns and for the people to feel that he's one of them rather than the more elitist vibe that Dr. Oz gives off. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, the Nemesis is the thorn in the side or the lie in the ointment here, because Nemesis refers to ruin and undoing, and it's often something self-created. Now, Fetterman's issue has become his health. 2 days before the election, he had a major stroke during the auspices of that eclipse. So that was, in a way, Fetterman defeating himself, because his recovery has not been complete at this point, although he has a good prognosis from his doctors for full recovery. And a recent debate, televised debate between him and Oz, was not favorable for him, the impression that he gave, because he needed to use closed caption TV circuitry to he sees information visually better than he hears it, as far as processing it. So he needed to see the questions and the responses, which gave him a somewhat halting delivery, and he was a little confused in some of his answers, or not so much the answers, but the wording of the replies. And for any undecided voter, it certainly wouldn't have, offered much confidence towards him. So that's an unfortunate sort of side effect of the eclipse that brought him into the prominence of the nomination. It also planted the seeds of what might be a loss for him. excuse me. On the day of the election, asteroid, there's no Fetterman and there's no Oz, but we can use Johnny as a reference for John Fetterman, and we can use Oz, which is O-Z-E, as a reference for Oz. Both of those are conjoined each other, which, kind of illustrates their close connection and, the fact of them being so enmeshed in each other's space at this time, both vying for the same body. And this opposes a conjunction of Neptune and Jupiter in Pisces. So, again, since they're conjunct, both interpretations of that could apply to either. And one interpretation is that someone's dream, which is Neptune, that their political dream, politics being Jupiter, becomes reality. And then for the other one, it'll be the flip side of that, which is disappointment and disillusionment in a political setting for the other candidate, the one who loses, obviously. But there's no way to distinguish between the two of them. There's Mars at the fulcrum of a T-square there, in square to each point, and that just illustrates the fact of the competition between them. But again, it doesn't really speak to a particular outcome. So although they're in the thick of it on the day, it's not really possible to state, which way it will go.
So perhaps that's one where it takes a while for the results.
It could be. Yeah, Pennsylvania certainly will be late in counting. That's for sure. And depending upon how narrow the margin is, it could be. Yeah, it could be a while. We certainly won't have a vote count that night. A final vote count, but we may know which way it's trending, and we may not.
Mm-hmm. All right. You said you had a couple of other states you'd looked at?
Yes. In Ohio, we've got a situation. And actually, one of the other things that combines all three of these races is that they are all involving people who are either lifetime politicians or currently in office on the Democratic side, and people who have never been involved professionally with politics on the Republican side. And that's the case in Ohio, where celebrity author J.D. Vance on the Republican side is vying for Rob Portman's seat as he retires, who is a Republican, and the Democrat challenger is Tim Ryan, who's been a U.S. representative for Ohio for, I think, close to 20 years now. Here, there's an interesting set of circumstances as well. In the natal chart, Vance would seem to have the upper hand because he has a combination of asteroid Senator with Nike, which is named for the Greek goddess of victory, mm-hmm. and that squares asteroid Ohio, which is the state he's trying to represent. Ryan's connection is more tenuous to some extent. He has asteroid Ryan conjunct Ohio, which is great, but Senator isn't really part of that mix. There's a sort of a wide semi-square from Ryan to Senator. Now, Senator itself conjoins Mars and squares Venus, so it's an active point in his chart, but it's not necessarily tied into a victory here.
Mm-hmm.
But on election day, that script is kind of flipped by their relative placements because asteroid, excuse me, asteroid James, which would be J.D. Vance's first given name. He goes by the initials. His name is James David. Asteroid James conjoins Trumper, again showing his allegiance to Donald Trump, and asteroid Karma. So again, it's a sort of fated or predestined moment. And these are in square to asteroid Nemesis, which would again suggest ruin or downfall. Whereas for Ryan, he's in a much stronger position on election day, with Ryan in square to asteroid Fortuna, which represents good fortune and positive outcomes, and in trine to asteroid Ohio, which again is the state he's trying to represent.
All right.
And then Georgia would be the third, where we have Raphael Warnock, who is a minister who won his seat in a special election 2 years ago, in a runoff election after the special election, and is trying to defend that against Herschel Walker, who was a pro football player who spent his college years playing for the University of Georgia and is a popular figure in the state, although he also had to move back to the state to qualify for residency. He was living in Texas when Donald Trump urged him to run for this seat. Walker, it's hard for me to imagine anyone voting for Herschel Walker. He is manifestly unfit for the office. He's very, some of his phraseology, he's not a good communicator. He doesn't inspire confidence in his intellect. And he has a lot of baggage personally, including domestic abuse, and a pro-life candidate who is now credibly accused of having urged and paid for abortions by former girlfriends and mistresses. So, you know, not the most credible of candidates, but the polling is pretty much neck and neck there. And again, we can see in both charts why this might be. Walker has a conjunction of asteroid Senator with Karma, an exact conjunction. So there does seem to be something fated going on here beyond, you know, the Donald's urgings, although maybe that was the fated part of it. And this opposes asteroid Herschel, bringing it very, very plainly, or very, very personally to his individual biography. With Herschel is a TNO called Quaoar, which has a lot of affinities with procreative things, including abortions.
Oh, interesting.
So we see that there's a connection there between this Senate run and the issue of abortion. And again, another T-square on the fulcrum of which is asteroid Georgia, the state he's trying to represent in the Senate, and another TNO called Salacia, which is the root of our word salacious and deals with scandals, particularly of a sexual nature. So that's all bound up in his candidacy. But he does have a strong personal connection there. Warnock, on the other hand, it's the connection to Senator is a little more peripheral, although, obviously, it's working for him up to this point because he's in the Senate currently. He has asteroid Senator conjunct Washingtonia, which is shorthand for D.C., where the Senate, of course, resides. excuse me. And then that's about as far as that goes. It's not really tied directly to much else in the chart. It does oppose Damocles, which again is that sense of looming threat which he's facing right now. And there is a somewhat wide square to Saturn, which would indicate his career or profession. So he has gotten to the point of adding that, you know, to his career resume, that Senate seat, but will he be able to keep it? That's harder to say. On election day, again, let me flip back to that chart. I've got so many charts here in front of me. Okay. On election day, we're seeing Walker in a similar position to what we discussed for Johnny and O's in the Pennsylvania race. Walker is in Gemini squaring that Jupiter-Neptune conjunction. So, again, it's conjunct Mars. So that could fuel energy into his campaign, or it could simply show that he's also facing a personal disappointment of a political nature on that day. Herschel is, asteroid Herschel, I should say, is opposing asteroid Victoria, which is the name of the Roman goddess of victory and the root of our word, victory. So that might give him a leg up on the day. There's no asteroid for Warnock. His first name is Raphael, and there are two that can be used as a substitute for that. They are Raphaela and Raphaelta. And on election day, Rafaela is at station, meaning it's come to a critical turning point, which is appropriate for, you know, for his situation. But again, in and of itself, doesn't really speak to the outcome. A turning point could be finally making the seat his own for a full 6 years, or it could be, you know, the loss of the seat. That point is in Pisces, and it conjoins Nemesis. So I would say the inclination is more towards the end that he might lose the seat. But he's also very tied into the eclipse, because Rafaelta, the other asteroid referent for him, is in a T-square with that Sun-Mercury Moon-Uranus. So again, that kind of throws, it's sort of a jump ball, throws things up in the air again, and it could go either way. And on the day, Rafaelta is also conjunct asteroid Georgia, although that is too wide to be part of the T-square. It is within orb of Rafaelta on the far edge. So that could identify him in voters' minds with the state. So as you can see, it's kind of a mixed bag all around. There's no real definitive call one way or the other on that.
And it might be, honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if it isn't until the middle of the month that we have the smoke clearing on the whole picture.
Yeah, I mean, if Georgia has a 50% plus one requirement, so, and there is a third candidate in the race, and no one's polling above 50 now. So if it comes down to the same situation as 2020, there'll be another runoff in Georgia, which is scheduled for sometime in December, I believe. So we may have to wait that long to know if that's the determinative seat for the entire Senate. It may take us that long to know what the breakdown will be in Congress.
And that fits completely. And at this point, we're going to take our second break. Hang in, everybody. We've got lots more interesting stuff to talk about.
Bringing a more conscious lifestyle to your world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
How would you like navigational tools you can use on your own? Visit my site, empowermentunlimited.net, and click the Shop tab. There you'll find lots of talks and guides explaining the big influences at work now, like Saturn in Aquarius and Uranus in Taurus. You'll also find a variety of guided visualizations for relaxing, clearing your energy, or getting to know planetary archetypes. That address again, empowermentunlimited.net.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
If I could be you,
and you could be me for just 1 hour.
If you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Welcome back to Celestial Compass. We're talking about the astrology of the midterms with Alex Miller. I have one framing, one thing I've looked at that to frame, because I'm sure there are people out there now going, oh my God, no, with what we've been talking about, with the uncertainty of a lot of the races. And that is what's happening in President Biden's chart. The solar eclipse at 2 degrees Scorpio with Venus conjunct the sun and the moon was pretty tightly opposite his moon in Taurus. And we have a timed chart for him. So this straddled his 5th and 11th houses, and the eclipse itself was in the 11th house of long-term goals and wishes, and also your role in group organizations. And in mundane charts, the 11th house rules Congress, and that Venus rules Biden's moon. And one way of looking at this is a doorway has now opened for him to get a lot of his economic and resource oriented, like a lot of his long-term goals may now be possible to do, which would not happen with a throttled Congress.
Good point. Yeah. I haven't really looked at his chart lately, but yeah. What I also wanted to say.
Yes, please. No. You have more to say on the elections.
Actually, I'm pretty much finished with that. But what I want to say as a capstone to that is, we have to remember that, at least as far as I'm concerned, asteroids, the jury's still out on whether asteroids are predictive or just descriptive. So even though it's impossible with Uranus being as active as it is to predict from the information that I've laid out, it's also true that, you know, if asteroids themselves don't predict, then they are just describing what the terms of the game are, what the players are on the board, how they fit with each other, and what the energy is out there. They don't necessarily incline toward an outcome. And I myself, having worked with these points for 15 years, I'm still out as to whether or not I think they predict or they don't.
Certainly are explaining why some of these races are so tight.
Sure, sure.
Yeah. Well, you have a couple of little lagniappes for us, little pieces of dessert.
Yes. I thought it might be fun to check in with the Donald and see the progress of his many legal struggles. So I decided to focus briefly on probably the most advanced right now, since there are actual charges out there now, which would be New York Attorney General Letitia James's charges of fraud brought against the Trump Organization and several of the family members, including Donald and his three eldest adult children. This came down on the 21st of September, and we have a timed chart for that as well. It was 11:38 a.m. And the chart shows a conjunction of James, which is the Attorney General's last name, with Trumper, our Donald referent, conjunct each other on the ascendant of that chart, which is pretty closely aligned with Donald's own IC. So we're seeing a foundational situation in the IC, but also a public image issue on the ascendant. In addition, and probably more to the point, there's an asteroid called Darrest. It's D'Arrest. It relates to all forms of early process in a legal situation, from charging or indicting to the actual physical arrest or detention of someone, which isn't going to occur in this case since it's a civil suit. But that point was conjunct asteroid Letitia when Letitia James brought out her indictment. And it was squared to asteroid Justitia, which is the Roman goddess of justice and the root of our word justice. At the time. But more importantly, Darrest was exactly squared to an exact conjunction in Donald Trump's chart of asteroids Nemesis, which we've been talking about a lot, has to do with ruin or undoing, often self-created, which in the birth chart is exactly conjunct asteroid Bilk, which refers to fraud, and particularly of a financial nature. So it does appear as though the walls are beginning to close in on the 45th president. And we'll just have to see how that all plays out. It could take a while. I forgot to mention also that that James and Trumper conjunction on the ascendant has the ascendant exactly squared to asteroid Damocles, which again is that looming threat hanging overhead. So it works on so many levels.
And it's just played out. So let's look at Darrest. Well, right before at the big. The New York Attorney General has just had a monitor imposed over all of the Trump Organization activities.
Right.
That's putting some damper on what it is that they can do. And we do know that her ultimate goal is taking the right to do business away from him.
Yeah.
So that fits.
He actually just went through a return of duress to its natal point, which reactivates the potentials of that in the birth chart. That occurred in the middle of October, the 11th through the 14th. It was conjoined its natal degree. So everything's running ahead on schedule.
Okay, and you have one other one floating around back there, right?
Yes, I do. That would relate to the newly minted King Charles III of the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland. You know, astrologers over the years, and some say even dating back to Nostradamus, depending on how you interpret his quatrains from the 1500s, have predicted that Charles would never be king. And I've never really been certain of the astrological grounding for that argument, but I can tell you that the people who said that just weren't looking at the right filter, because if you look at the asteroids, it's pretty clear that's the path he's on. His son in late Scorpio is very tightly opposed to asteroid King, and it's in a grand cross with, on the one side, asteroid Thronium, which I use as a reference for the throne. And on the other side, there's a triple conjunction of asteroid Charlotte, which is the closest English rendered asteroid to Charles, with asteroid Britain, that's Britten, which is a homophone of Britain, Britain, and asteroid Ray, which is Spanish for king. So, seems pretty emphatic that someday Charles is going to be king of the Britons. So,
The Grand Cross doesn't have a whole lot of motion in it. It's kind of like the hangman being suspended and having to wait, which would fit someone who doesn't have the circumstances evolve until he's in his 70s.
Right. So we needn't have wrung our hands about his fate all these years, because it was pretty clear that this was going to happen one day. And in fact, when Queen Elizabeth II passed, transit asteroid King was exactly conjunct Charles's midheaven degree, which was kind of bringing that whole thing to fruition. In addition, transit asteroid Charlotte was again a point at station, indicating that major change of direction in your life. And in fact, Charlotte actually made its turn. Well, from its degree at his mother's death, Charlotte exactly conjoined asteroid Queens in Charles's chart, and then it made its turn at that degree 2 days later, within hours of when Charles III was actually proclaimed king officially on the 10th of September. So, yeah, that was a pretty good connection there too. And you can go back, you know, through Charles's life, you know, pretty much endlessly. Mm-hmm. As far as how things worked out for him in various stages of his life, you know, his parents are in his birth chart. We've got asteroid Philippa, which is the feminine form of Philip and the closest to that in the sky, which is conjunct Saturn in his chart. That indicates the sort of frosty relationship between them, but also Saturn, of course, is a symbol of the father, which mm-hmm. Prince Philip was. We've got two Elizabeth reference, which are Elizabetha with a H and Elizabetha with a double T. They're exactly conjunct each other, and they're trine his moon, which conjoins Queens. So, yes, Mummy was the queen.
And let's just throw in that his moon was on top of his mother's sun.
Yes, same degree. Yeah. Right. And that just was hit with this eclipse as well. Mm-hmm. The solar eclipse was 2 degrees
right.
off. So, his wives are there. There is an exact reference for both Diana and Camilla. Interestingly, neither of them aspect Venus or Aphrodite in the chart, which would be the chief markers of a love match, but both aspect asteroids Hera and Juno, which are named for the Greek and Roman goddesses of marriage. Camilla is definitely in the stronger position. Diana is trying to, actually, Hera and Juno are conjunct each other, and they're at station, indicating that marriage would be of primary importance in Charles's biography. Mm-hmm. Any point at station exerts a greater than typical influence on the life and biography of an individual or character, depending on what type of asteroid it is. In this case, it would be more biographical than character. But it's trine, which is a nice thing, but it basically just shows here she was the comfortable choice. He wanted Camilla all along, but there was too much blowback about that. Then she married, and you know it got even thicker and hairier, and so there was Diana just ready and waiting. So okay, great, go with Diana. But after it, Camilla opposes the Hera-Juno pairing. So she's the one, very often points in opposition. Yes, they can be antagonistic, as an opposition implies, but they can also be sort of in that full moon sense that this is our ideal. This is our culmination of the cycle. This is what we see most directly in front of us as where we should be headed. So as well as that, we have Camilla squared, finally, some kind of personal connection. We have Camilla squared to Mars, which shows a strong sexual component to their relationship. And it's also squared to asteroid Regina, which is Latin for queen. So all the haranguing and the going around about will she be queen? She was never granted the title of Princess of Wales. Is she going to be a sort of morganatic wife and not really officially queen? Well, that's all gone now. She's going to be crowned with Charles in May. So she got there, and it's right there in the chart. at their weddings, the respective weddings too, you can see the issues playing out. When Charles married Diana on 29 July 1981, we had asteroid Diana conjunct the sun, which is appropriate, you know, the bride in the spotlight. She was also, it was also a sesquiquadrate to asteroid bride with an extra E, B-R-I-E-D-E, another homonym, or homophone rather, of the English word bride. And then we had Charlotte conjunct asteroid groom and Virgo, I mean Venus in Virgo, which sounds like a love match until you realize that at the same degree as Venus was asteroid Camilla. So that was the one he really loved and wanted to be taking those vows with. You can see the roots of the destruction of that relationship on that day as well. Both asteroids Achilles and Aphrodite are at station, conjunct each other. Aphrodite is affairs outside of marriage, and Achilles is weakness or vulnerability and any inherent thing that is threatening to destroy the relationship or the individual from the get-go. And then when he married Camilla, it was a much more quiet affair. They had a civil ceremony in the Windsor Guildhall. It wasn't anything regal the way the first fairy tale marriage was. But we again see that the name of the bride, Camilla, is conjunct the sun, just as it was with Diana and the sun for the first marriage. And there is a very emphatic statement going on about the eventual destiny there, because we've got a cluster of bride again with Regina and King in square to groom. So it's clearly a royalty-based matrimony that we're witnessing, even though kind of underplayed at the time. So
this is why I look at the royal family. I've had people lately complain about paying any attention to them, but their astrology is so that their lives are so public, their archetypes, and the astrology just plays in it so beautifully.
Yeah.
And we should just throw in, so his coronation has been scheduled for the day after the lunar eclipse in May, and he'll have a nodal return in his 10th house of career.
There you go.
Yeah, so it's like this is the moment so who cares how long he's on the throne? He will officially be on the throne.
Right.
It's what he was born to do.
Exactly.
And his node is conjunct his mother's sun, so yeah, he's carrying on what she did.
Right. That's why we love it.
That's why we love it. And that's also why we love having you on the show. I am so glad you took the time to prepare all this and share it with us. Any parting words?
No, we've kind of gotten to the limits of what I had prepared for today, although there's always more to say with asteroids.
So where can people find you?
It's alexasteroidastrology.com. And you'll find there a good resource for mythic-named asteroids, that is, asteroids that are named for characters in, you know, predominantly Greek and Roman, but some other pantheons as well. And you can find a good background information on those there, as well as numerous listings of current events and how they played out from the asteroid perspective.
And if people go to your site, there's a pop-up where they can get information about top five asteroids and how they play out in their own charts, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so reason to visit. And also, just get on his mailing list, because every so often an asteroid interpretation of something that you've seen in the news comes flying out, and it'll be just more info for you to go, yes, astrology works. So thank you so much, Alex. I'm really glad you came.
Thanks, everybody
else, breathe, vote, visit my site, empowermentunlimited.net, for all of the forecasts. They're also at omtimes.com. Thanks.